A new NBA season just tipped off on Tuesday night, and surprise, surprise, COVID-19 is already gumming up the schedule. Last night's game between the Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City Thunder was postponed because the Rockets didn't have enough players. Mike Pesca is here and now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, what happened last night? Why wasn't this game played?
You have to have more than eight players. The Rockets had a few already who were injured, and then a positive test came back for one player. That doesn't mean that he's definitely positive. They'll have to retest. But the protocols and contact tracing indicate that other players should be quarantining. That put the available number down below the threshold. And what should have been an all-league effort, including the two games the night before where you had the Lakers, the returning champion, playing the Clippers, and you had this great game, the Brooklyn Nets playing the Golden State Warriors, and then all the teams were supposed to play yesterday. Well, the Rockets and OKC Thunder cannot play.
Well, for most of last season, the NBA played in a bubble. All the teams were in Orlando, and in terms of COVID, that worked pretty well. Now, this season, the teams are playing in their own arenas again, and the pandemic is clearly still raging. Why did the NBA go back to the old version of things?
Yeah, it did work well. There were no positive tests in the bubble. And I would say it was two reasons, and both of them monetary, but also rational. The bubble itself cost upwards of $200 million. Estimates $180 million. So, you know, it's cost prohibitive. And the other thing is they looked at the NFL, and the NFL had success. If you define success as they have been able to play all their games with 2 weeks in the schedule left. There was a lot of shifting around. There's a lot of criticism, some of it apt. But I think the NBA said, you know, if we can do it with our smaller rosters and not burgeoning teams of coaches and personnel, if the NFL could do it, we could give it a try and maybe save some money along the way. And they're at least taking it seriously and, say, canceling that Rockets Thunder game.
And what about the hockey season? That starts in January. What's their plan?
Interesting schedule. Yeah, January 30th. So hockey has about a quarter of its teams based in Canada. And Canada's a totally different situation, totally different rules, totally different laws. In fact, the one Canadian NBA team, the Raptors, have moved to Tampa because it would be impossible logistically to get that Canadian team incorporated into the NBA. So they created an all-Canadian division. And in fact, they created four divisions, and the teams in those divisions, eight teams or so, will just be playing each other. And this limits the traveling. Most of the schedule will be each team's play each other twice in a row, so they don't have to keep moving arenas. And it won't be until the playoffs between any teams outside these divisions will face each other. Also, if you look at the NHL schedule, when they list home arena, it says TBD because they don't know if all the arenas or which arenas will be available.
That is interesting. Mike, college football, I'll be honest, I missed the famous Idaho Potato Bowl this year. Nevada beat Tulane 38-27. Sorry, Green Wave. But really, the games that will help decide this season's college football champion will be played, as usual, on New Year's Day. And it seems like there's always an argument about who makes the playoff field. This year is even stranger because Ohio State, a powerhouse, a perennial powerhouse, missed so many games to COVID.
Yeah, it is. And just a note on that famous potato bowl, I can understand missing it. It was up against the roofclaim.com bowl. But, you know, these little tiny bowls are often just a joke. But this year, they're a dangerous joke to make these teams play in different situations for, I don't know, nothing but the glory and remuneration of the bowl sponsors. That said, you're absolutely right. Ohio State has only played six games, and they didn't look so great winning those six. So you have other teams saying, hey, we played 11 games. We're not faulting Ohio State for having, you know, to deal with their conference getting a late jump and games being canceled. But how do you reward a team that played half the games over us if we're Texas A&M?
Yeah.
But there's a bigger issue, which is that the college football playoffs really has only rewarded a thin cluster of teams. And Alabama always deserves to be there, and Clemson usually deserves to be there. But then they just kind of default to a team like Ohio State based on perception, based on recruiting class, and based on something other than what they've done on the field. So it is a situation in terms of competition and fairness for college football.
Maybe it's too early to ask this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Is March Madness in jeopardy again?
Well, it doesn't seem so, but the pandemic, of course, will have its own plans. But the NCAA is so dead set on doing absolutely everything that they can to get March Madness in. If you compare it to every other sport, you know, you have millionaire and players and billionaire owners in the other professional sports. But with March Madness, the NCAA is absolutely dependent on the revenue for March Madness. So I think that if one sporting event is to be played, it will be March Madness because the incentives are all there.
I mean, speaking of money, oh my goodness, there's a lot of money involved there. Mike Pesca here, now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome.